Thank you very much, Chris. Let's read our passage for tonight, which is from Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. And in fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, now this gospel reading tonight recounts an event that's early in the life of Jesus' ministry that is designed to teach us about the person work of Christ, Christology to give its proper title. Now the incident is so important that it's mentioned in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, and the Synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So you can read about it in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, and Mark 4, 35 to 41, as well as this passage in Luke. And an event that appears in all three of what we call the Synoptic Gospels adds weight and importance to it, despite it occupying, in each case, just a handful of verses. The details in each gospel are the same. If you read each of those three passages, you'll see virtually the same words in all three, which again places great emphasis on this event. Jesus comments on the disciples' lack of faith, and the disciples are amazed that even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, John does not record the incident, but instead focuses on that other occasion when Jesus comes to the disciples' boat by walking on the water. An event that is in Matthew's gospel as well, but not in the other two, presumably because Matthew and John were there, whereas Mark and Luke were not. But tonight's reading from Luke, in this reading, we encounter Christ in the stilling of the storm, not to be confused with walking on the water. And it demonstrates Jesus' power over the natural elements. It demonstrates the power and authority and control that Jesus had and still holds over events that we might describe as nature at work. For the disciples, the simple, straightforward crossing from one side of the lake to the other becomes a total nightmare journey. And how Jesus slept through it all is a complete mystery. Now, I've had some pretty nightmare journeys in my time, not least of which was when I used to commute up from Highbrooms to Tunbridge to London. Tunbridge Wells, what am I talking about? From Highbrooms to London every day. And coming home in the evening, about 6 o'clock, I'd get on the train and get my book out, read a couple of lines, and I'd be fast asleep. And if I was lucky, I woke up in time Highbroom Station. But as Chris reminded me earlier, there was an occasion, at least one occasion, when I went as far as Wadhurst or even further. And coming back from battle one night was quite amusing. Anyway, so a nightmare journey. Nothing like this incident in the boat. The nightmare journey, and how Jesus slept through it all, how he managed to sleep through all that was going on around, the noise and the waves, the wind, everything else, is a complete mystery. He must have been very tired indeed. But also so relaxed, you know, there he was in the midst of all this, and he could sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but when things go wrong in my life and I have a nightmare experience, it's not something that I sleep through very easily. And I've had a few sleepless nights in my time. But so violent is the storm that blows up that the little boat in which these disciples and Jesus are traveling almost gets to the point of capsizing. And it's only then that the disciples think to wake Jesus. "Master, Master, we're going to drown," they shout. And apart from the obvious stilling of the storm and the calming of the waves, it's the words that Jesus uses that interest us this evening. And rather than reassuring the disciples, he tells them off. "Where's your faith?" he asks them. And I just think here that he felt they had A, left it a bit late, and B, rather than ask him to save them, all they could wail was, "We're going to drown." They couldn't see that he might be able to help them. Maybe they hadn't known Jesus all that long, and certainly not long enough to trust him and be aware of his power and authority. It was, after all, early on in Jesus' ministry, and the disciples had not yet reached the point which Peter was able to say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That comes in the next chapter, in chapter 9 of Luke. Maybe Jesus realized that they needed to learn something here from what was going on, what was happening. So what is there to be learnt, both by the disciples and us? And something we've been learning a lot about recently has been how, as Jesus' disciples today, and as his followers, he entrusts us with far more than we can possibly imagine, and equips us with the spiritual gifts that we need to carry out those tasks. And yet what was true of the disciples is so true of us too. We don't ask Jesus to help when we're in trouble. And even when we do, we leave it to the last minute. And it becomes a sort of "God help me" kind of cry. There's the story of the guy who walked too close to the edge of a cliff and he slipped, found himself tumbling over the edge. And in desperation, he flung his arms out and grabbed a bush growing out of the cliff face. And as he hung there, he sensed that the bush was going to give way. And so he cried out for help, but there was nobody around to hear his cry. So after a while, he called out, "Oh God, if you're there, please save me." And to his amazement, the reply came, "Yes, I am here. Let go of the bush and trust me." He thought about this for a moment and then called, "Is there anyone else there?" And the Gospels teach us that whatever the situation, sorry Chris, I mean, the oldest jokes are the best, you have to admit. The Gospels teach us that whatever the situation we find ourselves in, we need to learn that Jesus is someone who we can really, totally rely on and utterly let go of all that stuff that holds us back so much. We need to learn that Jesus is there for us. He is interested in our lives, however mundane they may seem, whatever it is we are going through, and he will come alongside us and guide us to a place of safety. And in ancient times, if a storm arose and a ship was in distress, a little ship out on the sea and there's a storm, the Romans would send out a big ship from the harbour to come alongside the smaller ship to protect it from the storm and to guide it to safety. And our problem is that we too often try to do things in our own strength, either leaving it to the last minute or never thinking of turning to Jesus for help, under the false idea that we can cope or deal with a problem ourselves. Not surprising then that things do not always seem to go right for us or for our world. We wonder why so many bad things seem to happen in a world that's largely turned its back on God. It's a hard lesson, one the disciples had to learn, and important for us also. When there's a problem, Jesus should be our first port of call, not a last resort, to mix metaphors. And as Christians, the Holy Spirit is always part of our lives and works within us to help us to grow in trust and faith. There's been numerous times in my life when I've tried to muddle through, but it's only when I've learned to rely totally on Jesus that things have changed for the better. Sometimes you see these little cartoons. If you're a fan of Facebook, as I am, and you're on there a little bit, probably a little bit more than I should be, but you see these, what they call memes, I think it is, these little cartoons that have a little thing on them. And there's the one that I saw a while ago, there was a picture of a young child dancing away out in a heavy rain downpour with a message, "Jesus helps us not so much to shelter from the storms of life, but teaches us to dance in the rain." Life can be pretty messy at times and quite stressful when we encounter storms that we cannot see how we can possibly get through them. And there have been times in my own life that have been difficult. And I remember one particularly difficult patch when someone said to me, "Doesn't all this stuff affect your faith?" To which I could truthfully reply, "It's my faith that helps me to get through." Maybe we feel that God is asleep and not hearing our prayers and that he's far from us. But actually, the opposite is true. It's probably us that's moved away from God, and that he is still and will always be there for us. Another message I saw the other day contrasted this passage in Luke with the other story of the other storm when Jesus walked on the water to his terrified disciples in the boat, with a message saying that sometimes Jesus calms the storm and sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms us. He won't necessarily remove us from a difficult situation, but he will give us the tools and the strength to deal with it. Now, Dr. Luke tells us of the power Jesus had over the natural elements with one purpose in mind: to convince readers of his gospel that this Jesus was more than just a man, but that he was also God. And the alternative Old Testament reading, had we heard it tonight, tells how God created man. Jesus was there with God at the beginning of time and was not, as some people thought in those times, a created being. Jesus was fully human, but also fully divine. Perhaps the issue for us today is whether we truly believe that God still has that same power in our world today. Omnipotence, we sometimes call it, power over all things. So why do disasters and tragedies happen? Why does God not step in and prevent such things? And I wish there was a satisfactory answer to such criticisms, such comments. I remember having, in the parish where I was serving as vicar, in that village, the local shop was owned by Muslims. And I would have conversations with them. And they believed that when disaster struck, such as the Boxing Day tsunami, it was God's will. His punishment on people for their wickedness and for ignoring him. I do not believe in such a God who metes out punishment for sins, but rather in a God who loves us and who is with us in the storms of life. When people suffer, God knows suffering. He knows what it's like, the pain and hurt that is felt, and how hard it is to cope with it. He knows that and loves his children. He doesn't turn his back on us ever, but is there always for us should we turn to him, and he longs for his people to turn to him. Maybe life is difficult for you at this time. Maybe someone you love is very ill. Maybe there's a difficult situation at work. Perhaps your job is at risk. Perhaps your financial situation is causing you distress. Are your children or someone else close to you having problems at school or at home? Maybe there are things going on in your own life that you're ashamed of and unable to share. It's been a long day. I'm tired. I can't get my mouth... Yeah, I'll have that glass of water now. Perhaps a relationship is going through a difficult patch. These are all storms of life that we face. And from tonight's reading, we know that not only did Jesus experience them too, but that he could deal with those situations. And God did not magically whisk the disciples out of that situation in the storm, but enabled them to cope until it died down. And Jesus wants us to know that we do not need to face such things alone. And probably we are not the only ones in such difficulty, and that there are others facing similar situations. And that God, Jesus, longs to help us if we let him. Which is why prayer needs to be such an integral part of our lives. Take it to the Lord in prayer, the old hymn tells us. And God is ready and willing to hear our prayer and to answer, perhaps not in the way we expect. And if we feel unable to pray, then we should feel able to ask someone to pray for us and to pray with us. often just sharing a problem can be a great step forward. And my experience here at St. Matthew's is that there are always many people only too willing to pray with you. And this should be a place where we feel safe to do so, knowing that what we share for prayer will never be abused, and the people we ask to pray with us will do that and will pray for us. The disciples were terrified and thought Jesus was asleep and didn't care, whereas in truth he loved his disciples and would do anything for them. But they had to learn that Jesus should be the first port of call rather than the last resort. Finally, perhaps there is a much more fundamental question that we need to ask ourselves. Do we truly believe that Jesus was and is the Son of the living God? Are there doubts in our minds? Let me say that above all else, we need to get right our relationship with him. And I also want to say that it's not wrong to have doubts. And to finish with a prayer. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And then, as they say on the BBC, if you've been affected by anything in this sermon, may I encourage you to ask for prayer after the service. Amen.